2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome on into another edition of Unrivaled. It's a Friday edition of the show. Thanks for being with us. Hope you're going into your weekend in fine fashion. Unrivaled, of course. I'm Alex Keery. He is former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell. We are here at the warehouse in Salt Lake City. You've heard Tom rolling out some of these furniture prices. Come down. Let's get some ridiculous prices on some of that furniture you're already looking for. 1825 South, 300 West here in Salt Lake, just east of the Salt Lake City Costco. That's where you can find us here. We've got some college football to talk a little bit, and we've had this guest on a few times on the program. Pete Futak of College Football News joining us on the program. Pete, thanks for being with us.
What's going on, guys? How you been?
We're hanging out. Look, I've got shorts on, and I'm at work, so things are really good. You know, I mean,
and I really wish
that's
you had
actually
pants on.
No joke. That is the definition of that. What is the biggest perk of my job? Is it working out of the house and seeing my kids grow up? Is it writing about football? No, it's that I don't have to actually look good.
Yeah.
Except for the dumb Zoom calls.
That's
then
true.
Then I have to actually shower and look presentable.
We were actually having that discussion today.
Well, you can put like filters on. You can put backgrounds. You can
sure.
You can kind of. You can manipulate that a little bit.
Oh, God. My problem is my hair. I have long hair for a guy, and which means that if I either I wear a hat and I get yelled at, or I have to, like, shower. That's just the worst. I mean,
nobody wants that noise. Nobody
wants
that noise.
No, exactly.
And we were talking about that today because, actually, it's gotten to the point now, I think, in our culture, people are pretty often late to Zoom meetings, which is really bad. Like, like if you're late to Zoom meeting, and people do it all the time, they go, "Oh, sorry about that. I was," and then they usually try to say they were on another call or whatever. But you're going, you were late to a phone call. Like, that's, you had one job. You don't have to be anywhere. You can't be late on Zoom anymore. Okay, so that's
to keep this PG. They were either in the bathroom or napping.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's
exactly right.
Basically, what they were doing.
Yes. That's exactly right. All right, well, Pete, we're in that time of year where, you know, we're through spring football for the teams across the country, and we are trying to make our best guesses as to what the summer's going to look like with these guys, with these teams rolling in. And I think that one of the great things that happens right now is that we absolutely lose complete track of what a team is capable of. I think case in point, USC out here out west in the Pac-12 is one of these teams that just gets an enormous amount of respect after finding a way to lose it over the years. How is it that we do this in the offseason where we convince ourselves that a team is maybe a little bit more of a higher plane than they probably should be?
Because they should be, and that's kind of the problem. Where, you know, even last year, the Pac-12 people I know in the biz were just like, yeah, you know, it might be Arizona State's year. I was all in on Utah. being good. I didn't think they were going to win the Pac-12 championship, but I sure thought they were going to be good. But everyone was sort of, look, the talent's at USC. The talent is always at USC. But obviously when things went wrong early on and the team just sort of lost it and it was just a ghost season for them, well, now they got Lincoln Riley. And start with that. They got the guy who might be the best college quarterback in the country, all due respect to Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. But Caleb Williams is probably, if he does what he was doing at Oklahoma over the second half of last year, he's it. He's the guy. I mean, there was a stretch there where I was stumping it for him and saying, there's your Heisman winner. Lincoln Riley, if he was the coach right now of, I don't know, the Dallas Cowboys, would we be shocked? No. Combine that with the talent base that's in place, all the other guys and all the other parts that are coming into the mix, either by legal or, air quotes, illegal means here. And all of a sudden, it's kind of coming together. And with what USC can and should be, with the NIL rules, that's the number one spot for everything, for just combination of media market, giant school, flashy offense. That's it, because we know once they figure it out, forget it, Pac-12. They're going to have more talent than everyone else. It's just a question of how fast they get there.
Yeah, I know. That's scary. And it's everything you said is so true. I mean, it really is with USC. And just watching it and covering it, you scratch your head. You just go, how does this team, with the talent they have, you go, how did they not win the Pac-12 every year?
And they somehow find
a way not to. It's just it's baffling to me.
Clay Helton's a nice guy. So start with that.
The honest
truth is that the best coach for this job, if it wasn't going to be Lincoln Riley, and now that Urban Meyer has imploded, it would have been Lane Kiffin again. Lane Kiffin was actually a great coach for them, but because he's Lane Kiffin, that obviously didn't work the first time around. They weren't going to do that again.
And he's totally grown up now, which I really love how mature he's become now.
I am an unabashed Lane Kiffin apologist. You can whatever you want, whatever that guy does, dude can coach. That dude
it's
wins
true.
Everywhere he goes. Ole Miss. That's Ole Miss, and they won 10 games last year. I mean, that guy can absolutely coach, and people forget that he took over USC right at the beginning of the USC Reggie Bush coma penalties.
Right.
So, and then they had the one big year, and everyone was disappointed because, oh, wait, they don't have any guys to recruit anymore.
Right.
They couldn't. So anyway, but they got rid of him because he was Lane Kiffin, and they held on to, they had Steve Sarkisian, who had obviously problems. And then they held on to Clay Helton because he was a good guy.
Right. Way too long.
You root for him. And they kept him just a couple years too long. The USC fan base assumed Urban was going to make the move down from the Fox studios over to the program. And there's your next USC coach. Didn't happen, obviously. And now they get Lincoln Riley, who, if this doesn't work, it's certainly not USC's fault because they got easily, you can throw Brian Kelly in this mix, easily the best coach in the potential free agent coaching circle of college coaches.
Where does Arch Manning go?
That's going to be a fun one because obviously he can go wherever he wants. If it's not Alabama, and I just think that would just offend the entire Manning family if that's not it, you got to assume it's Tennessee. I think that is the program that has the offense and the ability to rise back up. And I think there's a parallel here because when Peyton Manning took over, you know, that for people of a certain age, remember, that team was right up there. That program was right up there with any in college football, where they were churning out 10 pro guys in the NFL every single year. And then the year after Manning leaves, they win the national championship. But I would think that would be the right fit with that Josh Heupel offense. But certainly, obviously, the Ole Miss ties with Manning are going to be there. But how long is Lane Kiffin going to be there before he takes over a bigger gig? But obviously he can go anywhere he wants.
Pete Futak joining us from collegefootballnews.com. If you want to obsess yourself, you want to overanalyze some things, get with Pete and go see what College Football News. No, but listen, all 131 teams, a preseason win total projection. That's the kind of stuff that I live for, where you go in there and you go, I got to see where this team is in May, even though it doesn't matter and it might change by the time we get through fall camp. It doesn't matter. One of the things we're dealing with, though, with all of this is now trying to reel back some of the NIL and subsequently some of the transfer portal stuff that goes on. And is there something to fix? And how do you fix the name, image, likeness stuff? Or are they just addressing it by saying, hey, as long as you're not recruiting with it, then we're in a good spot? Or is there more that needs to happen to fix, quote-unquote, fix the NIL situation?
Yeah, you framed it the exact right way in terms of air-quoting fix. I'm still trying to figure out where there's a problem. Like, what is the, like, who's getting injured here? Who's having the issues with NIL other than, you know, schools have to kind of adjust and do things a little bit differently? Because if you are, for example, I don't know why George Klevikov and anybody in the Pac-12 would be complaining about this at all. And they're right there with the SEC because they got the media market. You know, you want to talk about where the name, image, and likeness money's going to come from. It's going to be from the places that have pro-style cities. And I know nobody in San Francisco cares about college sports, but that's a big, giant media market. And you've got two Pac-12 schools there. Eventually, you're going to move to have some sort of footprint in Las Vegas. That's going to be a media market. Obviously, L.A. is as big as it gets. Seattle is big. Phoenix is a top six media market. I mean, they've, unlike the SEC, which has what, Atlanta, and now they're going to get Dallas relatively soon, and Miami. The SEC doesn't have the media markets that the Pac-12 has. So, what's the differentiating factor for the Pac-12 to get up there? Well, you start figuring out how to institutionalize some of these NIL deals. Certainly, Oregon's got a built-in way to do that, and there you go. But I'm failing to see where there's this big problem with NIL. Now, I do get the transfer portal. That does need to be tweaked. It's not fair to the coaches, not fair to the players. It's just not fair in general that you can't really run a team knowing that the second you put someone number two on your depth chart, the vultures are going to swoop in and take them away. So I think the NIL stuff is fine. Who cares? Really, it's just guys getting jobs. That's really all this is. But you've got to then fix the transfer portal so you just don't have unfettered free agency.
Where is interesting the media market line there? That's an interesting take on that. Where is Utah this year? I mean, they had a great year last year. They returned a lot of people, but I mean, a lot of people think that they're going to win again, potential playoff team. But as you mentioned at the beginning of this, a lot of people are really high on USC. So where is Utah?
Well, where is USC, I guess, is the question. And it's the unfortunate part about college athletics. I live here in Chicago, and my running joke to people here is, you know, how do you know the Big 12 or Big 10 is down? Because Northwestern just won the Big 10 West. you don't have a Northwestern winning or an Iowa State winning or any sort of quirky, you know, blip unless the big player programs are down. And the window was wide open there for a UCLA or an Arizona State to kick it in, and Utah did it. Now, the difference between Utah here, which I've always kind of loved, they just have the right style. They always reload with big guys, great defenses, a tough running game, a tough mindset. You know, I was there at Wisconsin during the Barry Alvarez era and saw how they put that thing together. And, no, they might not have the talent of the Ohio States and the Michigans of the world, but every year you know Wisconsin is going to come up with large human beings on the lines, and you know exactly what you're getting. And that's what Utah's at. And Utah, even if USC has all the five-star guys, even if they have all the talent, the Utah style is still going to step up and punch you in the mouth, and you still have to deal with that every single year. So long-winded way of saying it's really up to how good USC really is, because UCLA is going to be better. This is when it finally should start to kick in even more for Chip Kelly. Arizona State's going to be a little down. Arizona's not there yet, and Colorado's not there yet. So in the Pac-12 South, you know, what do you got? You got Utah. It depends on where the L.A. teams are going to figure in. But certainly, if you're in Utah, even with some of the lost parts and some of the lost stars of last year, you just got to assume that you're just going to kind of reload and be right in the mix for the Pac-12 title again.
Of course, also in our footprint, BYU fans are really excited about this program getting to the Big 12 in 2023. What's a successful couple of first seasons when you go into a conference like that? If you're BYU, what's a reasonable level of expectation?
Win it, because the good guys are gone. I mean, that's kind of you lose. I mean, Texas, I know, hasn't won squat in the last few years, but Texas is gone. Oklahoma is gone. So what? If you're BYU and you're this program that has, especially at home, where you have this great home field advantage and you always seem to rise up and play well against the big guys, really your season comes down to beating Baylor or Oklahoma State? I mean, that's just not that bad. So if you're BYU, look at this team coming back this year. Look at the schedule. This should be another 10-win season if everything breaks right. And then once you get into the Big 12, again, you're not going to the SEC West or anything. I still don't know why Oklahoma and Texas is doing this.
I think we already do the thing here where people start to apologize already for BYU before they go in. They go, well, you're new. They're going to be new. It's going to take a minute for them to really kind of get their footing and really start to recruit, you know, along the lines of what a Big 12 program should be looking like and spending-wise and blah, blah, blah. So it's like they build in 4 or 5 years or 8 or 10 years before they'll, like, allow you to start thinking about being a championship contender, at least in the football and basketball world.
We just had the NFL draft. In the NFL draft, and it just happened the same way for the last, 10-ish years or so, roughly 23-ish percent so was taken up by the SEC, another 15-ish percent or so taken up by the Big Ten. So realistically, about 40 to 45% of every NFL draft is taken up by the Big Ten and the SEC. And most of everything else from the Big 12 is coming from Oklahoma and Texas. For the most part, it's not like they're recruiting the Oklahoma States and Iowa States are recruiting gangbusters around a BYU. So there really is no excuse or no grace period here, because again, you're going into a conference. You know, UCF's going to be good, Houston's going to be good, Cincinnati's going to be good, but you know, again, you're not going into a conference with, you know, Alabama and Georgia and Florida or Ohio State, Michigan State here. This is a winnable conference for a program like this. It's okay to set their sights high. And by the way, talking about name, image, and likeness, you want to talk about who – it hasn't really been talked about nationally. Who kind of ruined it with the model for everyone else? Do you think that an Alabama is going to catch on to the idea of, why don't we just make sure that walk-ons are paid? And right. let's just subsidize them, because you want to talk about old school getting around the scholarship limit.
BYU's always been BYU's always been, you know, kind of a trendsetter. That's the way we like to think of ourselves.
Well, a bunch of cheaters, the pro is what they are.
if you're BYU, you know, it sounds cute. Okay, we're just going to make sure that the scholarships and the walk-ons are paid for. Well, take that up to another degree if you're, you know, running a farm system at a place like an Ohio State or somebody like that. I think that's one of the things that the presidents and the NCAA is a little bit worried about.
Well, that, you know what I love is that the people of all the schools to get in trouble for, like, you know, kind of, you know, living on the border of what's legal and what's not. I love BYU being at the front, at the
perfectly
tip of that
legal,
spear.
Perfectly.
It's hilarious.
It's all fine.
Right now it is. Absolutely. Pete Futak, collegefootballnews.com. That's where you can read his byline there. Great stuff as usual, Pete. We're looking forward to talking to you, as the season starts to get going, as fall camp starts to come upon us. Thanks.
Anytime, guys. You have a good one.
There you go. You know what?
97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.